Have you printed out the free coloring sheet for this lesson? You can download and print it at the link in our show notes. And you can access full lesson activity guides, bonus videos, nature devotions, and our themed Bible and nature scavenger hunts in the Nat Theo Club. When you join, you receive new resources every week and access to all our back content. Dive deeper into God's creation and the Bible in the Nat Theo Club at erinlynham.com/club or at the link in our show notes.
Hello world, wake me up to another good morning, time to go.
Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynham. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and his created world with you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Have you ever heard those words before? I just read the first two verses of Psalm 23. My kids and I, we recently worked on memorizing Psalm 23. And this chapter of the Bible is so comforting and full of peace. But did you know that we can also learn a lot about nature and science from Psalm 23? Now, it's important to remember that the Bible is not a science book. However, we learn so much about God's creation from the Bible, and the Bible is simply packed with nature. Today, we are taking a nature walk through Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2, to see what it has to say about God's wild and wonderful world. Here is our trail map.
Are you ready?
We are going to learn, why do sheep need shepherds? And what is a bummer lamb? We will learn, what are the still waters of Psalm 23? And how can we trust God and follow His lead? Before we hit the trail, let's thank our sponsors who made this lesson possible, including Apologia Curriculum. My family loves deep diving into God's wild and wonderful world with Apologia's award-winning science courses. And you can learn all about God's creatures with their Zoology 3 course, which explores land animals that God created on the sixth day. Explore jungles, deserts, forests, and farms, and even venture into your own backyard to investigate and enjoy the creatures that God has created. My family loves Apologia's exciting courses that bring science and nature to life through their easy-to-understand conversational tone, beautiful photographs, helpful diagrams, and engaging hands-on activities. Explore Apologia's Zoology 3 Land Animals course and all of their award-winning science courses at apologia.com or at the link in our show notes. This lesson is also made possible by CTC Math, an online math program my family has been using and loving for over a year now. CTC Math has taken the struggle and frustration out of math and provided my kids with a clear and exciting pathway forward and all the tools that they need to succeed. My kids have made incredible forward strides in their math journey using CTC Math's easy online dashboard, simple and to-the-point instructional videos, practice questions, and progress reports. Try CTC Math's online math lessons for K through 12th grade for free at ctcmath.com or at the link in our show notes. All right, listeners, here is our trivia question. Who wrote Psalm 23? Do you know or do you have a guess? We will find out at the end of today's lesson. And Nat Theo Club members, be sure to click over at the end of this lesson to the bonus video to learn about two mountain lions that were right behind my house and a story in the Bible about a shepherd protecting his sheep from a lion. You can find that bonus video in the show notes or in your Nat Theo Club dashboard. Listeners, if you want access to our weekly bonus videos, Bible and nature scavenger hunts, lesson activity guides, and nature devotions, join the Nat Theo Club at the link in our show notes. At the very beginning of Psalm 23, we are given the imagery of a shepherd. Listen to the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If God is called our shepherd, what does that mean we are? Sheep, of course. But we are not walking around on four hooves and we don't have white wool. We are not actually sheep. But in this beautiful psalm, the writer is using the imagery of sheep and a shepherd to show how carefully God takes care of us. Neighbors of mine raise sheep, and I love this because we have the opportunity to hear the sheep baaing and to see them grazing in their pasture every day. My oldest son is sometimes given the job of taking care of our neighbor's sheep when they are out of town. Because of this, we have had a special opportunity to learn more about sheep and how to take care of them. One thing we have seen is how important a shepherd is for their sheep. In what ways do you think a shepherd takes care of their sheep? I'm going to play music for a few moments, and I want you to think about different ways that a shepherd might take care of their sheep. Were you able to think of some ways that shepherds care for their sheep? One way is by making sure that their sheep have fresh grass and water. A shepherd leads their sheep to fresh green grass. Our neighbors, they move fences around in their pasture and in their neighbor's yard to make sure that the sheep always have enough fresh green grass. This is important because sheep need quite a lot of grass and hay. An adult sheep can easily eat 2.5 to 4 pounds, or around 1 to 2 kilograms of grass each day. Sheep are natural grazers. Do you know what that means when an animal is a grazer? Grazers are animals that feed on low-growing vegetation, such as grasses and herbs. God designed these animals to roam around in their pasture or a meadow and eat fresh grass. Verse 1 of Psalm 23 says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." A good shepherd guides his sheep to green pastures with plenty of good food to eat. Sheep are also ruminants. Do you know what a ruminant is? We learned all about ruminant animals when we studied American bison on Lesson 65. Ruminants are animals with separate compartments, kind of like sections, in their stomachs, and a unique way of digesting food, including chewing their food 2 different times. So sheep spend a lot of time out in the pasture, eating and, well, kind of re-eating their food. A shepherd works hard to make sure the sheep have all the food and fresh water that they need. Another way you might have guessed a shepherd helps their sheep is by protecting them from danger or harm. You see, sheep are very vulnerable. Do you know what that word vulnerable means? Vulnerable means that something does not have a good way to protect itself. It can easily be injured. You see, sheep cannot bite or inject venom like a snake might. In fact, sheep are in danger of being bitten by snakes. Sheep also don't have a hard protective shell like a turtle. And sheep don't have a way to camouflage themselves like an octopus might. Instead, sheep depend on their shepherd to keep them safe. This is true with my neighbor's sheep. We regularly have mountain lions around our neighborhood, and the shepherds work hard to keep their sheep safe. God is a good shepherd to us by protecting us from danger and harm. Another way shepherds care for their sheep is by tending to their wounds when they are injured or giving them medicine when they are sick. In order to do this well, a shepherd needs to know a lot about a sheep and how God designed their bodies. When I was a young girl, I wanted to be a veterinarian or an animal doctor. Maybe you have thought about having the same job one day. To be a veterinarian, you need to study and learn all about God's creatures so that you can better take care of them. A shepherd is an expert in sheep care and knows how to take care of them when they are sick or injured. Another way that shepherds care for their sheep is by finding lost sheep. You see, shepherds work very hard to watch carefully over their sheep, but on occasion, one might wander off, and the shepherd will go after it and bring it back to the flock. Matthew 18:12 says, "If a man has 100 sheep, but one of the sheep gets lost, he will leave the other 99 on the hill and go look for the lost sheep." Now we might think, wait, what about the 99? Why is the shepherd leaving the 99 behind? Well, you see, the sheep are safer in a large group together. It's better for the shepherd to go after the one lost sheep who is alone and vulnerable. Did you know that in the same way, God searches for us when we are lost? We all begin lost and without God. And God seeks us out as a good shepherd. He wants to make sure we are found by his love and safe in his protection. Finally, a shepherd stays with their sheep day and night. Now, when my son cares for our neighbor's sheep, thankfully, he doesn't need to sleep out in the pasture with them. Instead, he makes sure that they have what they need for the night and that they are brought into a safe place in the pasture and are together with the neighbor's dog watching over them. But in the Bible, we read about shepherds staying out with their sheep all night. They were in wild, open spaces, and they needed to make sure that their sheep remained safe all night long. In the same way, God, as our good shepherd, never leaves us. Hebrews 13:5 says, "I will never leave you. I will never abandon you." God is the very best shepherd. He always makes sure that we have what we need. He always protects us from danger and harm. He knows how to tend to us and take care of us when we are sick or hurting. He sought us out when we were lost, and he never leaves us or abandons us. So shepherds take care of their sheep in many important ways. And sometimes shepherds have extra work to do when a mama sheep does not care for her lamb or baby. God designed mama sheep to care for their babies that are called lambs. My son and I, along with my mom who was recently visiting us, we got to see this up close when my son was caring for our neighbor's sheep a few weeks ago. My son had gone to check on the sheep, and he came running back into our house saying, "Mom, come quick. The sheep is giving birth." By the time he got back to the sheep, the baby lamb had been born. It was incredible to see that baby lamb begin walking and nursing from its mama. The mother is a great mom and took wonderful care of her lamb. If any person or other sheep or the sheepdog came near, the mother quickly protected and sheltered her lamb, keeping it with her at all times. However, not every sheep mother is a good mom. Because God's good creation is broken by sin's curse, things don't always work how God designed them to work. One case of this is when a mama sheep rejects her lamb. That lamb is then called a bummer lamb. A bummer lamb is a baby sheep that has been rejected by its mother. So the mother will not nurse the baby, meaning that the baby cannot get the milk it needs from its mother. The mother also does not protect the lamb. When this happens, the lamb will die unless the shepherd steps in to take care of it. The shepherd will take that bummer lamb into their own house and care for its needs, keeping it warm and bottle feeding it. Because of this, the bummer lambs know and trust their shepherd even more deeply than the other sheep do. My neighbor taught me that when a shepherd calls for their sheep, the bummer lamb is the one that always comes running first. They know their shepherd's voice and they follow it closely, remembering how the shepherd has taken care of them. Listeners, this is a beautiful picture. Like a good shepherd, God carefully meets all of our needs. We should be like the bummer lamb because we too were lost and helpless, and God has taken care of us. We can remember all the ways that our shepherd God has protected and provided for us. We should always listen for his voice and follow it closely, and we can trust him deeply, knowing that he meets our needs and keeps us safe. John 10:27 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Let's continue our nature walk through Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 23 does not only talk about sheep and shepherds and green pastures, but also about still waters. Verse 1 says, "He leads me beside still waters." But what do still waters mean? In nature, when we think about still waters, it's not always a pretty scene. Still waters might be a murky puddle, or have gooey, slimy algae on top, or even smell sour or gross. This is stagnant water. Have you ever seen stagnant water? Stagnant water is water that is not moving or circulating around. It's not like a river that is flowing or an ocean that has tides and currents, or like a lake that a river flows in and out of. Instead, stagnant water sits still. On Lesson 72, we discovered an amazing little creature called the fairy shrimp that lives in temporary pools of water called vernal ponds. So, like fairy shrimp, some creatures can live in stagnant water, but not very many. In fact, stagnant water can often become dangerous to creatures because there is no fresh water flowing in and nowhere for water to flow out. It can become very dirty and dangerous bacteria or germs can grow in it. Is that the type of water that sheep should drink? No, definitely not. Stagnant water full of bacteria is very dangerous to sheep and other creatures. So what do you think God meant by leading us to still water? I definitely don't think he meant gooey, green, sour water filled with bacteria. Let's become word detectives and search for hints as to what still waters might mean. To do this, we need to go back to the original language that this verse was written in. You see, the people who wrote the Bible did not use English. In this case, in the Psalms, it was written in the Hebrew language. The Hebrew word that we translate for still is manuka, and it can also be used for the words quiet and restful. Isn't that beautiful? God leads us to still, quiet, restful waters. These are such beautiful pictures that we get in Psalm 23 of green pastures and God as a good shepherd and still waters. Listener, have you ever laid down in a big grassy field or meadow? One of my favorite things to do is to explore big grassy meadows full of wildflowers with still, restful waters running throughout them. Think about Psalm 23:1. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." It is always a gift when we have the opportunity to play in a grassy pasture or field or meadow. But this verse goes so much deeper than a true pasture. Think about a shepherd leading their sheep to a green pasture with plenty of grass. And think about those words in the verse, I shall not want. Listener, like a shepherd guiding their sheep, God makes sure that we have everything that we need, so we do not need to want for more. The next time you are worried about not having what you need, or the next time you find yourself wanting something that someone else has, remember, we do not need to want. God leads us to green pastures. Yes, real ones where we can run and play and explore, but also green pastures in our lives. We can trust God knowing that He gives us what we need. And think about those still waters. Do you remember the Hebrew word? It can mean restful. When life feels crazy and busy and there's so much going on, and maybe it feels like you have so much to do and not enough time to do it, we can remember that God leads us to quiet, restful, still waters. You can practice following God to restful waters by enjoying a day at the river or creek, or by simply sitting with God and spending time with Him by reading His Bible and praying. Whenever you hear or read Psalm 23, I hope you remember that God is our good shepherd, protecting us and making sure we have everything we need. And how, like sheep, especially bummer lambs, we should follow and trust our shepherd, God's voice. And how God guides us to still, quiet, restful waters where we can know His peace. Listeners, I want to wrap up our lesson a little bit differently today. I want to practice something I wrote about in my new book, The Nature of Rest, that has to do with Psalm 23. Do you remember the words that we read in the first verse of Psalm 23? I shall not want. I often read all of Psalm 23 and I add those words, I shall not want, at the end of every stanza or sentence. This helps me to remember that I do not need to want. I can be content and at peace because God gives me everything I need. I'm going to read the psalm like this, and I want you to listen carefully, and then perhaps practice this on your own. This is a great passage to read or say anytime you feel fearful or overwhelmed, because it reminds us of how wonderful a shepherd God is. Are you ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. I shall not want. He restores my soul. I shall not want. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I shall not want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I shall not want. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. I shall not want. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I shall not want. You anoint my head with oil. I shall not want. My cup overflows. I shall not want. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall not want. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I shall not want. It's time now to answer a question from one of our listeners. Here is today's question.
Hello, my name is Jackson. I'm 6 years old. I live in North Carolina. My question is, how do hens lay eggs?
That is a great question, Jackson. How do hens lay eggs? It takes a hen or a female chicken about one day to make an egg in her body. The eggs begin as tiny yolks inside a part of the hen called the ovary. When a yoke grows and gets bigger, it will travel through a tunnel-like system called the oviduct. In the oviduct, the white part of the egg begins to form around the yolk. After its journey, the egg ends up in a part of the hen called the shell gland. Now, most of the egg-making process happens here in the shell gland, also called the uterus. The egg spends about 20 hours in the shell gland being formed. This is where the hard eggshell, mostly made from calcium, forms around the egg. When the hen is ready, she gives a little push, and out comes the egg. A hen will normally lay around one egg a day, so her body is always going through this amazing process. Thanks for your great question, Jackson. Stay curious about God's wild and wonderful world. And listeners, if there's something in nature that you are curious about, you can submit your question at erinlynham.com/ask or at the link in our show notes. And Nat Geo Club members, be sure to click over at the end of this episode to our bonus video, where I will be sharing about a time that there were two mountain lions behind my house, and a story about a shepherd in the Bible who protected his sheep from a lion. You can find that bonus video in the show notes or in your Nat Geo Club dashboard. It's time now to answer our trivia question. Who wrote Psalm 23? Do you have your guess or do you know the answer? Psalm 23 was written by King David, who was also a shepherd. Now it's your turn to explore. Go find a green pasture or some quiet, restful waters and enjoy God's creation. Here are four ways to do that. First, visit a meadow and look for wildflowers. Second, with permission, play in a creek and see what creatures you can find in or near the water. Third, visit a pond and watch for turtles resting on logs. Or fourth, find a grassy field and lay down on your back and watch the clouds travel across the sky. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this nature walk through Psalm 23, please take a moment to send it to a friend. And subscribe, rate, and review Nat Geo wherever you listen. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world. Oh,